are back on the Heart and Hustle podcast. Another episode after one game. The Magic are 1-0. They beat the Cleveland Cavaliers on Wednesday night, 94-85. We're going to get you some rapid reactions from that one. Well, not so rapid, because we're actually taping this the afternoon after the game. We're not late night people. I'm sorry. We have real jobs, too. But if you are listening for the first time, Nick Grunewitz here. I'm with Scott Inez. You can hear us weekdays on ESPN 580 Orlando. So I guess not real jobs, but we have jobs. ESPN 580 Orlando, 4 to 8 o'clock. You can follow Scotty on Twitter, at Inez says me, at ESPN 580. Nick, that sound you hear is the Magic remaining undefeated. On a night where they did not play overly well, they beat what we're expecting to be a bad Cleveland Cavaliers team, and the Markel mania has begun. 12.6 assists on a night where I think he showed where he fits on this Orlando Magic team. Scotty, there, first of all, 1-0, manageable schedule early. We talked about that in the last pod, but more than anything, they beat a Cleveland Cavaliers team that they ran out of the building almost in the first half, and then finished the job in the second half to win by 9. What were your thoughts, I guess? We'll start there.
First off, not a masterpiece by any stretch of the imagination. Far from it. I mean, I think, look, I was at the game last night sitting courtside, and I'm thinking, okay, they probably brought their
courtside mention. Courtside mention by you,
huh? Is
that
like name dropping?
Yeah, that was a little. No, it was a little big timey. I liked it, though. It's okay. So, I was courtside.
So
Jonathan Isaac, he was coming right at me.
He did a couple of times, as a matter of fact. But look, I thought they brought their C-minus game. I mean, I really did. For opening night, I thought the Magic brought their C-minus game. And I think Steve Clifford would tell you that, too. Steve Clifford even talked after the game about rebounding and how he is concerned about the rebounding and lack thereof in the preseason and through game one. His team was out-rebounded last night. They did have 54-46. They did have 13 turnovers. I know Coach Clifford is concerned about turnovers, even though 13 is a manageable number. But look,
that's not bad. Well, listen, I work in the G League.
Right. Yeah.
23 turnovers is manageable in that league. Yeah. You hope to keep it under 30.
Yeah. Look, offensively, it was clunky. I mean, we shot just, 43% from the field.
Yes.
You're up by 20, like you said. You let them back into it, and then they cut it to 6 late. But the bottom line is, it's a W. And the thing that jumps off the page for me, as I was watching courtside, by the way, Nikki Football.
You were watching courtside?
I was watching courtside.
All right, that's two courtside mentions.
It was three, actually. But the thing that jumped off the page with me is that midway through the first quarter, Markel Fultz comes off the bench.
First guy off the bench.
Right.
He was the sixth man. I was watching the updates. I was driving home because I was on the air until 7 o'clock just as the game tipped. So I was on my way home, and I saw the little alert from our buddy Josh Robbins of The Athletic. I have his tweets on notifications because he is like the guy to follow for the Magic. Unsolicited plug there for him. But and I saw Markel Fultz checking in. I'm like, Terrence Ross too, right? It's like, no, he was the sixth man. Markel Fultz got in early.
Yep.
And I think that meant something from Steve Clifford. I think he wanted to get him in early and try to get him some run and get him some confidence.
And Markel was in the game late as well. Okay, so I think that tells you something. But, and I know we're going to talk about Markel Fultz coming up because I'm having a really hard time tamping down my enthusiasm now that we're in the regular season.
I'm going to try to hold you down, though.
Thank you. I need it. In the past,
you and I have done this where it's like you and I are both as high as kites on this, and then it's a very slow burn down.
Right. You need to do what you can to hold me down from exclaiming that the Orlando Magic need to give Jeff Weltman his contract extension right now. With that said, Markel Fultz comes off the bench. He's the first guy off the bench. Last year, who was the first guy off the bench typically? Maybe a Terrence Ross.
He was the sixth man. Yeah.
Maybe a Jaren Grant. Right. So the thing that jumps off the page for me first is not only depth, but quality depth. This roster right now, and I'm knocking on wood, this roster is filled with depth, because last year you're coming off the bench with Jaren Grant and a rookie and Mo Bamba and Wes Iwundu, who did not play last night. And that's no knock on that. But now you're coming off the bench with Markel. Now you're coming off the bench with Al-Farouq Aminu, who showed especially defensively what he could do last night. You're coming off the bench with Michael Carter-Williams with a second-year Mo Bamba. And by the way, Michael Carter-Williams gives you a really, really good three-headed monster at the point guard spot. Terrence Ross, who hit 200 threes last year. Yes, I know he came off the bench last year. But this team, depth-wise, that's the first thing that hit me about this team.
No, I agree.
And not only depth,
mm-hmm.
okay, quality depth.
Yeah, I agree. You and I talked about this yesterday on ESPN 580, and I think on the last pod where it's just you start looking at the names on guys that aren't going to be starting, from Aminu to Bamba to Fultz to Michael Carter-Williams, mm-hmm. Terrence Ross, Wes Iwundu, Kim Birch, Melvin Frazier Jr. I mean, those are the other eight guys that dressed last night.
Yeah.
And you don't come to Isaiah Briscoe, who was playing in Estonia the year before. You don't come to Jerian Grant, who is you know, as we had a caller on ESPN 580 say, didn't make it in China after not coming back with the Magic this year. You don't have a Jarrell Martin type guy. The depth and the versatility of that depth,
right.
too, where
right.
you can have DJ Augustine and Markelle Fultz on the floor at the same time a little bit, I think. And you can have, you know, Aminu and Isaac on the floor at the same time. There's a lot of mixing and matching that Steve Clifford can do, and I think he's going to enjoy playing around with that a little bit. I will say on the other side, someone's going to end up a little unhappy this year because there are too many guys to get minutes. And I don't know if that's going to be Wes Iwundu, who, you know, the Magic brought back, or my guy, Kem Birch, who I am a very big fan of, who came back as well. It's going to be tough to find minutes for all these
guys. It's a good problem to have, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's a really good problem
to have. First world problem.
We haven't had that problem in a long, long time here in Orlando.
No, because we've had more times of looking at it's like, damn, is this getting minutes?
We need players. We got them this year. There is quality depth on this basketball team, and we knew that going in. Like, we've talked about it before, but it was visceral last night. Like we saw it for the first time up close and personal in a regular season game. So that's the one thing that really jumped out at me early is the quality of depth on this basketball team. I think the other thing that jumps out, and again, we talked about it all offseason long. Last year, we talked about the defense and how good the defense is.
Okay, so here is where I'm going to put the universal rider in of this conversation, okay? Because you can tweet me at ESPN 580, Nick. You can tweet Scotty Ananez says, please don't tweet us this. It was against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Yes, Cavs team is going to be bad.
Yeah, I mean, we knew that going
They're
in,
going
right?
to be
I mean,
bad,
they're still
yes.
NBA players. I mean, they still have Kevin Love and a couple other guys.
How many guys on that team can you name?
Colin
other
Sexton.
Than no, other than their last
Tristan
two draft picks.
Tristan
okay.
And
Jetty Osman.
And Jetty Osman. I mean, there is some NBA quality
Larry
players.
Nance Jr.
Right.
How about Nance bricking a dunk, trying to posterize Nick Vucevic Wednesday night? Nance bricks that dunk, looks for the foul, doesn't get a foul, and then just kind of shrugs. We're going to win 30 games this year. I'm going for mine.
A media person came up to me on Media Row last night and said, how many games did the Cavaliers win? And this person's response was they don't get over 10. I don't agree with that. I think they're probably in the 20
range. Can I start guessing who that was?
No, you can't. But look, the bottom line is it's still an NBA team, and I saw what I wanted to see out of the Orlando Magic last night. I don't care what the Cleveland Cavaliers have on the basketball court. And the other thing that jumps out at you is, again, defensively. Stan Van Gundy said it on the show yesterday mm-hmm. on ESPN 580. He said this should be an elite defensive team this year.
And they showed a lot of signs of that on Wednesday night.
Some, right? It was your typical NBA opener. Like, they were up, they were down. They were up, they were down. But there were signs in the second quarter when they blew it open with a 15-0 run. In that second quarter, I mean, they put the clamps down. Cleveland couldn't even move, let alone score.
Cleveland scored 17 points. That was really the quarter that decided the game. The Magic outscored the Cavs 27-17. Now, the third quarter kind of went Cleveland's way. They came out kind of, I think they were up, 14-15 at the half or so. It was like 56-41. And the Magic came out kind of sleepwalking. The Cavs started that quarter really well, but the Magic ended it well and kind of put the game out of hand from there. But you mentioned defensively, Cleveland shoots 37% from the floor, 16 turnovers. We did see what this team is going to be able to do at times this year, and it is put the clamps down. Jonathan Isaac.
He's unbelievable.
He is.
He's unbelievable. And we were talking off the air, and we can have that conversation on the air
sure.
as well. I mean, has his body type changed a little bit? To me, yes. Like at Media
Day. He's still growing and developing.
Right, no doubt. He's still growing, I guarantee you, because at Media Day, I'm looking at it and I'm going, okay, he's still J.I., you know? I mean, it's really tough to tell in the upper body whether he's put on weight, even though I know he has.
Were they not feeding him at Florida State?
I don't know what was going on.
That's a Division I program, Leonard Hamilton. Was it like peanut butter and jelly, and that was it? Because it feels like the magic. We joked about the banana milkshakes.
Yeah.
He found the bananas. There's always money in the banana stand, and he found them.
And the thing I was mentioning to you off the air is that he looks thicker. Like, his lower body looks thicker for whatever reason. And I don't know how that happens. His legs are bigger. His waist is bigger. So that's a very good sign. Obviously, I mean, he even told us a few weeks ago he's been trying to eat six meals a day.
Like 5,000 calories?
5,000 calories.
He's on the Michael Phelps diet now.
Unbelievable.
It is. By the way, last night, Jonathan Isaac, Wednesday night, we're taping this on Thursday, 3 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks, and a steal, and 2 assists. Was not a great offensive night for him.
But he's an octopus defensively.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he's just, he has such an effect on the game. But I want to go back to the defense because when's the last time that you can think of when guys like Aaron Gordon and Terrence Ross and Jonathan Isaac can go like 7 of 24 from the field and this team still wins going away rather handily?
Yeah, you got 22 combined points between Aaron Gordon, Jonathan Isaac, and Terrence Ross. Ross did not have a very good game from a scoring standpoint. 10 points, he was 4 of 13 from the field. I can't think of one.
No.
Because you're right about that. And listen, I'm not a huge fan of the plus-minus statistic because I think it's very misleading, but, you know, a guy like Al-Farouq Aminu comes in, he scores 5 points, gives you 7 rebounds, he's got the second-highest plus-minus on the team. It's plus 14 because it's all defensive.
Yeah.
He's just locking guys down while he's in there.
And he's sneaky good offensively as well. I mean, he shot an air ball from three last night, but he does, like, I was watching him on the defensive end. He does the little things.
He was one of the guys I didn't watch enough last night, I got to be honest.
Yeah, he's yelling at his teammates. He's talking on defense. He's always where he needs to be. He's performing the help defense as well. He does the little things on defense. Offensively, he's not going to knock your socks off. He'll keep you honest with a three-point shot. But I liked what I saw out of Al-Farouq Aminu last night, too. I like the whole team. Now, again, 7 of 24 for Gordon, Isaac, and Terrence Ross. Last year, if that happens, forget about it. It's an L. But because this team is deeper and because this team is going to play that clamp-down defense at times like it did in the second and the fourth quarters last night, you're going to give yourself a chance to win every game.
All right, so we're going to gush about Markelle Fultz coming up here in just a second, but I said this to you before we started. I don't want to hide from this opinion, so I'm just going to say it. Steve Clifford needs to go into the meeting room today, look at Aaron Gordon, and say 3 dribbles. That's it. It's 2 words to Aaron Gordon and 3 bounces of the basketball. 3 dribbles. Yeah. When I was a kid in high school, we would do this drill where we would play one-on-one, basically, and you would get 3 dribbles, and it was to work on limiting your offensive game. There are times where I just hate watching Aaron Gordon play basketball, and there was a lot of that last night where he's up high on the wing, and you can see him looking for kind of, how can I get a lane to the bucket to dunk it? And it's all individual offensive stuff. And honestly, it's just not what his game should be. And if I was Steve Clifford, I would say to him, hey, we got too many good guys on this team. I know you got paid. I know you got your money. I know you want to help us win.
Yeah.
Three dribbles. And then pass.
Man, you're tough,
or shoot.
Nick. You're tough. You are the Bobby Knight of broadcasting.
Maybe 4 if it takes like another instance for someone to come open. But he dribbles the ball too much, and he's too loose with the dribble, too. Like, Markelle Fultz has played 33 games. He's a better ball handler than Aaron Gordon is.
Yeah.
It's the one part of Aaron's game that just has not seemed to develop.
Man, going off on AG today.
And it's after a win. It is. Like, I just, here's the thing. I need more out of him.
Okay.
If this team is going to be the
fair
4 seed everyone wants it to be,
that's fair.
Aaron Gordon is the motor for that.
That's fair. And I said on ESPN Afternoons with Scott Inez yesterday, if you were to tell me at the end of the season that Aaron Gordon is the MVP of the Orlando Magic, we have just won 50 games, and we're a 3 or 4 seed in the Eastern Conference.
Well, you're not going to win 50 games with him kind of trying to go around. I understand, but it's a lot of bad signs.
He made strides last year by leaps and bounds, playing within the team concept, purpose of play. It's only one game. I'm a believer in Steve Clifford and what he's done with Aaron at this point. Just one game, Nikki football.
3 dribbles, Aaron. 3. Maybe 4. Maybe four.
Can we get on to Markelle Fultz?
Yeah, let's get to Fultz. Because actually the broadcast of the rebroadcast is actually on the television right now here as we're recording this. And it's late in the fourth quarter, and Markelle Fultz just went around a Nick Vucevic screen, cut to the rim, did a little wraparound layup. I think it was with the left hand. Markelle Fultz did everything that you could have wanted in a debut, and I actually put this up on my Facebook page. If you want to go like it, please do, because the suits at ESPN actually really care about those numbers.
Yeah.
It's facebook.com/ESPN580Nick for the Nicky football page. But Markelle Fultz last night, 12 points, 6 assists, 2 steals. He had 3 turnovers to go with that as well. And I put this up there on my Facebook page. Fill in the blank. Markelle Fultz's debut, regular season debut with the Magic is blank.
Want me to fill that in?
I do, yeah. Like
awesome. I mean, it was.
Awesome.
It was. I don't care about the 3 turnovers. It was. It was awesome, Nick. It was on the offensive end. Now, look, this kid is going to get better and better.
How about remarkable?
I like that one, too. I like that one better, actually. But look, this kid has, you see it up close. I was courtside, by the way. Did I mention that last night?
6 times.
Okay. He's got such a great handle, and we didn't know that about him.
No, he nonchalantly put it behind his back last night, going across half court to go to the left wing and start the offense. And it was like, oh, right. this guy's a competent point guard.
And that's the point. It's like, we didn't know an awful lot about this kid. We knew he was the number one pick in the 2017 NBA draft.
But that was basically it.
Even in Washington. Like, did you watch Washington's games 10:30, 11 o'clock at night? I mean, I didn't. I mean, I didn't know
it
a
was
whole...
before I was engaged. So
okay, you did okay, but I didn't know a whole lot about this kid because he had only played in 33 games, and what we saw of this kid were the social media memes of him shooting free throws,
players making fun of his free throw form.
Exactly. So I didn't know coming into this season he had such a great handle. I didn't know that he had such great court awareness. This kid, Nick, he sees everything. And the thing about his game is that he, at least last night, and he showed in the preseason as well, he can get into the lane at will whenever he wants to, which is huge in today's game because the game today is inside out. He can finish at the rim, as he showed very early in that game last night against Cleveland. He can make that tight interior pass. He can kick it out for a 3. That is a dynamic that this team has not had. It's not had. So, look, and defensively, this kid is really good. He's thick. He's quick. He can guard 2 or 3 positions. So, I've held back my emotions. I've held back the enthusiasm in the preseason because it was the preseason. And I had to adhere to my philosophy of not believing.
You
want to
run in on this so bad. Like, you
want
to embrace him like with
open
arms.
You're not killing my buzz today, baby.
I'm just saying. Like, as you said,
don't even try.
One game.
Yeah.
One game for Markelle. And there was so much to like.
Yeah.
There was so much to like because I think what he showed was even without a jump shot, and the jump shot is ugly. He missed a couple of those 3s.
But I will say this.
I like that he took them.
Yes.
I like that he took the 3s.
He's not
like,
shying away from it. You're exactly
he
right.
He took more 3s in that first game, his first game back in 11 months, than Ben Simmons has taken in his 3-year NBA career. I like the willingness just to try to take the shot. And by the way, he went 0 for 3 from 3. The mid-range jumper you mentioned, you like the way it looks.
I like that. It went up soft, but this was a different dude. Like, remember when I went to the game last year, Philadelphia and Orlando, it was in November.
Oh, that's right. That was when he was still with the Sixers.
Right. I went for the sole purpose of watching this kid because so much had been said and written about this kid and the yips and it will he ever be the same guy? So I wanted to see him up close and personal. This, I'm telling you, the kid that we saw last night in Orlando was not the kid that I saw about 11 and a half months ago at the same arena.
What'd you think of the dunk?
Awesome.
Was that were you sitting on behind that bucket?
I at that bucket. Yeah, he was coming right toward
me. He was coming right at you when you were sitting courtside?
Yeah. 7. Yes. Yeah, coming right toward me. Matter of fact,
it's a good thing I wasn't there. I would have peed my pants.
We have a great video up on our Facebook page, ESPN Orlando.
Is that right?
Kyle Cassandra was down there with me and he actually took video of Markelle Fultz coming right for us. So it's
he's
really
coming
cool.
right for us.
He's coming right. Look out!
What I really loved was the fact that they got that ball to Markelle, and you could see mentally he was like,
I'm going to the 10.
That kid last year does not make that play.
No, and that's the point
that's
I'm
the
making,
point.
Is that I do believe that there was a physical issue, and there was a mental one to go along with it, whether it was him doubting himself, whether it was confidence. The way he played last night, from the minute he got into the game, it wasn't, oh, I got to see it go in. This kid is in a better mental state.
Oh my gosh.
And we talked to him during media day earlier this year, and that was his real message to us. It was, hey, like, I'm just in a better place now. Like, I don't know if it was being in Philadelphia and the amount of media pressure and the pressure because of the trade to Philly, and, you know, Orlando kind of traded for him and then put him in a little box somewhere and said, you know, you're not going to see the light of day for a basketball game until next year. And he was able just to work it out. But as you mentioned, like, last year, Markelle Fultz doesn't do that. I don't know how many times in his career he does that, where from the three-quarter court, they got him the ball and he said, I'm going to yam this down your throat.
Yep.
And then he finished it.
It's a great sign. It really is. It's a great sign. That kid last year does not make that move to the hole. But this kid, I mean, that kid last year was pained. He was literally pained to be playing basketball. This year, he's playing freely. He's playing with just a lot of confidence. And I love it. And can we give some props to Jeff Weltman? And I know, I get it. It's just one game.
It is just one game.
It.
Once again, that's right. That's what I was
okay,
doing here.
It's just one
it's
game.
One, it's one game against a Cleveland Cavaliers team with Darius Garland and Colin Sexton. Their turnstiles.
It could have been the Washington Generals.
They
it
were not
matter.
Fighting very hard over it those high
not,
Nick Vucevic
it,
screens.
It does not matter. Okay. Now, everybody's got the videotape, and I guarantee you that Markelle Fultz won't be able to get into the lane as he did on opening night against Cleveland. That said, I get all that, but can we give some props to Jeff Weltman, the president of basketball operations, who in effect, traded 3 second-round picks?
Jonathan Simmons.
Second-round pick.
Yeah.
And two other second-round picks. 3 second-round picks.
Well, it's Jonathan Simmons, a first and a second,
right?
Right,
but the first turned into a second.
It hasn't yet. I believe it's this year's
check
first.
That. Check okay. that. But I believe it's in effect 3 second-round picks for the number one overall pick in 2017. Was it a bit of a gamble? Yeah, but high reward, very low risk, even if he doesn't work out. And I'm not saying that this kid is going to play as he did last night throughout the season, but my goodness gracious. I mean, you got to give it up to Jeff Weltman, who not only made that deal, but also didn't put any pressure on this kid. Like, you got the feeling that his head was in a vice in Philadelphia with the media up there, with everybody on his back. He comes to Orlando, and all of a sudden, it's as if he's breathing for the first time in 2 years. And you have to give credit to Jeff Weltman and John Hammond for putting him in that spot to succeed. So I am going to give the Inez Says Executive of the Year Award right now for the next 5 years to Jeff Weltman.
So, by the way, that trade, Jonathan Simmons, a 2019 second-round pick, and the first-round pick is this upcoming 2020 first-round pick that belongs to Oklahoma City. Now, the way that's protected, it's a top 20 protected pick. Oklahoma City is going to finish inside of the top 20, so that will convey two second-round picks.
So, in effect, Jonathan Simmons, who was, I believe, a second-round pick?
No, he was undrafted. He's a G-leaguer. Yeah, I mean, he tried out with the Austin Spurs.
Okay, there you go. That's right.
Yeah.
So 2 second-round picks and an undrafted dude. I mean, it you don't make deals like this. And, I mean, I'm looking at Markelle Fultz going, okay, last year, and I was even guilty of this. We were talking about NBA top overall draft pick duds, right? And we were mentioning the names of Michael Olowokandi and Kwame Brown and Joe Smith and on and on and on. And Markelle Fultz was in that subset. And all of a sudden, to see this kid just playing freely and having fun, I'm so happy for the kid. I'm happy for the Orlando Magic. And this is the type of deal, Nick. And again, I don't want to put any extra pressure on the kid, okay? But it's the type of deal that can set a franchise on the right course again. After 7 years of not making the playoffs, last year, of course, Fultz did not play after being traded at the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
It's the type of deal that the Orlando Magic desperately needed, and it could work out very, very well in the future.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point. Markelle Fultz is kind of that first overall pick that you never got during the Rob Hennigan run. Right. I forget. Someone I was working with made this point. I stole it from someone. That is not my original thought. But, you know, you tanked all those years, and you end up with Victor Oladipo and all these Aaron Gordon. Yeah. You never got the number one pick. And yeah. Markelle Fultz now could be that number one pick that you never got, if indeed it works out. But we've got a lot. We got
long
81
way to go,
more
baby.
Plus the playoffs.
Long
of,
way to go.
With this
but
bad
but
boy.
The point is, Jeff Waltman and John Hammond are in the process of digging out of that hole created by Rob Hennigan in those 7 years.
All right, you got anything else?
I'm good, man. I'm
all right,
fired
so next
up.
Next time they play Saturday at Atlanta.
Yeah.
The schedule's weird because you play one at home, then you go two road, then you're back home. It's kind of a weird schedule, but we will be back next week. I think we'll have something Monday for you next week to drop. We're going to try to get a regular schedule, but I mean that I'm lying to you when I say that. but recapping throughout the week, if you are listening for the first time, he is Scott Inez. You can hear him weekdays on ESPN 580 Orlando, 580 AM, FM 96.5 HD. Yes, AM radio still a thing. You can follow him on Twitter at Inez Says and listen to him 4 to 6. I'm Nick Grunowitz. You can hear me with Scotty and in the evenings doing my own thing 6 to 8 p.m. Follow me on Twitter at ESPN 580 Nick. You can hop in the DMs. You can tweet us. We'll talk some basketball with you. Also, go to those Facebook pages too, because if they fire me, we won't be back with another episode. So we will talk to you soon, that being Monday next week. And until then, go Magic. Gonna get you.